The following is a presentation of the Chicago Bears Network and ChicagoBears.com. Download the Chicago Bears official mobile app for up-to-the-minute Bears content every day. And now, welcome to Bears All Access, your all-access pass into Chicago Bears football. Bears All Access is brought to you by Uber and sponsored by CDW, Miller Lite, and PNC.
Man, there's so much to talk about today. That's because the owners' meetings were taking place in Arizona this week, which gave us a chance to hear from Bears general manager Ryan Pace as well as head coach John Fox and get a clear understanding of the direction they're going in with next month's draft approaching. Hi, everyone. Alongside 85 Bear Tom Thayer and former Bears quarterback Jim Miller, I'm Zach Zaidman. It's another edition of Bears All Access brought to you by Uber. And guys, what I wanted to do during this first segment is just play a couple of what I thought were key sound bites from both Ryan Pace and John Fox. And I'll play each one, and then we'll get your reaction. We'll start with you, Tom, and then we'll go to Jim.
I got a question for you, though. Do you think you have a clear idea of what they want to do in the draft, or is it more of a smokescreen because they kind of say stuff out there that maybe adds a little confusion to the mix?
Well, that's why both of you guys are here, to help us sort through what we should believe and what we shouldn't. And we'll begin with the Bears general manager, Ryan Pace, who, after the signing of Mark Sanchez and Mike Glennon this offseason, is not guaranteeing that the Bears will draft a quarterback next month.
We're going to draft the best players available, you know, wherever that may be. And if it's a quarterback, it's a quarterback. But we're going to take the best players available. I think now, you know, cause some of those things are unforeseen. You know, you can't predict some of those things. But right now, I like the way Sanchez blends with Glennon and with Connor Shaw.
Well, you know, it is an obvious answer because, yeah, if the right quarterback's not there for your system, then don't just pick them because the quarterback position is, you know, is valuable. Make sure that you go out there and get the best player that the Chicago Bears need, because the Bears are in need of so many positions. They need depth. They need starters. They need quality players that are going to try to get this thing back on track where they're competing for a division and then into the playoffs. So, yeah, it's not a quarterback heavy draft, so obviously you're not going to pick a quarterback when your time comes.
Yeah, and I look at it the same way. The Bears have so many needs. They've already signed, 11 free agents when you add Mark Sanchez. There's no guarantee that he'll even be on the roster, and that goes for Mike Glennon too, right? Mike Glennon's deal essentially is a one-year deal. So if a quarterback's available that they like, I'm sure they will select a quarterback, or potentially could happen next year. But the bottom line is to create the most competitive roster you can going into the 2017 season. Sanchez comes with a lot of starts, but in my opinion, he'll be competing with Connor Shaw, and then maybe at some point the Bears will address the quarterback position, somebody that they can groom down the road.
Jim, what kind of a message would it send to the fan base if you go three consecutive years with this regime without drafting a quarterback?
Well, I don't think it says anything. I think it says, you know, for Chicago, they're trying to get that position right. You know, clearly when they move on from Jay Cutler and then go outside and sign a free agent like Mike Glennon, who I think has a bright future. He could be the future of the Chicago Bears. Going to be dependent on how he plays this year, and we'll see if the Bears elect to move forward with him or if they need to go in another direction. I think everybody all agrees that next year's quarterback class is much better than this year's. That's going to take a couple of years to groom some of these players. There are some diamonds in the rough and some gems in this quarterback class, but it's got to be the right fit at the right time if the Bears were to move and get in position to take it, or it may be decided for them if another team beats them to the punch and drafts one of these quarterbacks that they feel is really the apple of their eye.
You know, we would probably know Ryan Pace better as a general manager if he wasn't hamstrung by the Jay Cutler deal when he first got here. Because of the financial commitment they had to it in relation to the salary cap and everything, if they would have had a quarterback either on its way out or a guy that was removable at a sooner pay, sooner than later, I think we would have a better understanding of what Ryan Pace, the general manager, is all about in quarterback evaluation.
Well, here is what we definitely learned yesterday, and this is from the head coach, John Fox, that there is no argument as to who the 2017 Bears starting quarterback is going to be, and that's Mike Glennon.
It's a leap of faith, you know, to some degree, but I think you do that, you know, in a lot of different positions and evaluations of personnel and people. So the big thing with him is he has been in NFL football games. You know, he has been around a lot of systems, around a lot of different players and personalities.
Well, you know, that's the reason why you went out and got Mike Glennon is because of his experience in the NFL, even though as small as it is, you brought him here to capitalize on his experience in the NFL to be a starter at this time in his life. 27 years old, been around a couple of different systems. He's been around some good coaching, and now you have to capitalize on bringing a guy in here that has experience but is still considered an inexperienced quarterback.
I think Mike Glennon, much like we talked to him a week ago, he's ready for this opportunity. He's gotten his feet wet. He's been on the field, as Tom just mentioned, has been in different systems, is under currently good coaching when you look at Dirk Cutter on the type of offense and progression reads that he's been going through. And as you know, I travel around and do the training camps. I like what I saw from Mike Glennon in last year's training camp from Tampa Bay, and I've liked when he stepped on the field. And he's played. He's got a 2-to-1 TD to interception ratio. Probably moves better than what people think for how big of a quarterback is. But when you look at Chicago and you need a big, strong arm guy and the fit in the play action offense, much like Mark Sanchez, it makes a lot of sense. It's a leap of faith. Nobody knows how Mike Glennon is really going to react over a 16-game schedule. He's still young in terms of playing time, but I think he's ready for this opportunity and is probably a player that is going to grow as the year moves along.
Well, he'll be quarterbacking an offense that is missing Alshon Jeffrey, who left via free agency to go to Philadelphia, and Pace was asked about the receiving core now without their top weapon from a year ago.
Cam just has a great attitude right now, and he's getting better, and I love his skill set. I love his professionalism, and so I think we're going to see him ascend, you know. And Kevin, Kevin's going to have to step up, and stay healthy, and he knows that, and he's motivated, and we're excited about a handful of guys, and we still have a draft ahead of us too.
I'm excited to see what they can get out of the receiver room because, with Alshon Jeffrey here the last couple of years after Brandon Marshall left, I always approached Alshon Jeffrey with apprehension. Because I don't know how hard he worked in the offseason. I don't know how dedicated he was to be a member of the Chicago Bears. And when you look at the number one receivers around the National Football League, they come with so much threat week in and week out. Just going back to the era of Calvin Johnson and the Detroit Lions. I was in awe of him every time I got to see him warm up before the game and then the week anticipation before he got to play him. And I was never that way with Alshon. I saw a guy that had great ability, but I don't ever think he got the best out of himself without Brandon Marshall.
And I think it's going to, declare itself again. Maybe the Bears draft a receiver again to create a more, competitive room. You got some guys who've gotten their feet wet and Kendall Wright, and then we talked about Marcus Wheaton from the Pittsburgh Steelers. They've got a tremendous opportunity to really solidify their spot on the Chicago Bears. I like the upside of Cameron Meredith. He led the Bears last year in receptions. Kevin White is going to have that opportunity again, and I think the Bears may have an opportunity to draft what I think is a deep receiving draft. There's a little bit of everything that's offered in this year's 2017 NFL draft, and the Bears may be able to tap in to that draft pool as well. And Kevin White just has to stay healthy. He's going to have that opportunity, but we always talk about availability. Unfortunately for him, it hasn't been there the first two seasons, and I think the Bears are looking to protect themselves if it happens a third year.
White was the Bears' first-round pick in 2015, and Pace basically said that it's been bad luck with Kevin White. It's not as though he has some degenerative issue right. That he's had to deal with, so we'll wait and see. Meantime, what about the 2014 first-round pick, Kyle Fuller?
Honestly, when he comes back and I know he feels this way too, we're going to want to see progress, We're going to want to see him moving like I know he can move, And last season was frustrating for him and frustrating for us. But I'm optimistic and hopeful that, he's going to have done the right things this offseason to show progress.
Well, that is. You got to see progress out of where you were picked, while you were picked in that position. But also, is this a good matchup, the system the Bears are running, for what you feel your skills are? And, there's a lot of factors that come into it. You have to have an aggressive rush. You have to have a solid supporting cast to do play well at that position. But I do still think there's a window that he can succeed to the position where they picked him.
It's got to come in and compete for the job. And I believe the quote from Vic Fangio was, "I got to see a player who's chomping at the bit to get on the field." because that's what the Bears need. They need players who want to go out there and play with a lot of spirit, a lot of leadership, a lot of heart, and a lot of dedication. And to me, that said a lot, the Vic Fangio quote. I don't know how committed Kyle Fuller was into getting back on the field a year ago for the Chicago Bears.
I think it's a very tenuous time for Fuller in regards to his not just Bears future, but NFL future, based on the comments that Fangio made and the fact that this is a league where you have to show a little something early on in your career or teams give up on you around the NFL. Zach Zaidman, Tom Thayer, and Jim Miller with you here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber. Do you guys realize that last year the Bears had, as a team, 8 interceptions? The guy joining us now on the phone line by himself a year ago had 6. We're talking about new Bears safety Quinton Demps, who joins us now here on Bears All Access. What's the key? What's the key to taking the ball away?
Fellas, what's good, man? What's good? What's good? Yo, you said the key to taking the ball away.
Yeah.
Man, it's all 11 guys working together. I think the front 7 plays its part. You know, the secondary guys on the same page. And, we got to catch the ones that they throw to us. That's the most important thing, man, is catch the ones they throw to you for sure.
Hey, Quinton, in your evaluation of teams around the league that you are looking at, the Chicago Bears need 2 starters. How important was that in your evaluation of this team, knowing that our expectations as a fan of the Bears are you coming in here and being a starter?
I'm coming in to compete. For sure. I definitely, at this point in my career, wasn't looking to come in and be a backup. But at the end of the day, man, starter, penciled in, starter, whatnot, I'm still coming in to compete. I'm not a starter. So I'm excited about the opportunity, man. I'm looking forward to it.
Well, Quinton, welcome to Chicago. Good to have you. Jim Miller here. And you talked about, you've had a nice home there in Houston, able to return there again, and you've performed outstanding. And Bill O'Brien speaks the world of you. What specifically did you like about Vic Fangio's defense that maybe translates from what Romeo Crennel was doing down there in Houston?
Well, it's only been a couple months, guys, or a month. I don't know Vic's defense like the back of my hand yet. So that's what OTAs is for, man, to come in and to learn the defense and that type of thing, man. But I know Romeo, man, does a good job of putting players in, good positions to make plays, and using us to our strengths for sure.
From the little bit that you've studied, Quinton, in regards to Vic Fangio's defensive philosophy, can you describe it in general where fans can kind of understand what the goal is going forward here?
Describe Vic's defense in general?
Yes.
It's a defense that I don't know, man. That's like a loaded question. Like I said, it's only been like a month. But I'm sure, man, from what I've seen, it's the defense is versatile. I'm just looking forward, man, to playing.
Hey, Quinton, when you look at the quarterbacks in the division between Matthew Stafford and Aaron Rodgers and such, does that play a lot of, in the of where, the type of the style of defense you like to play, the challenges you're going to be up against, and everything that factors in playing safety? Because I think over probably the last 6 or 8 years, the safety position has come one of the more difficult positions to play in the NFL, because where you have to line up in the line of scrimmage according to down and distance. But then when you look at the threat that a couple of these quarterbacks pose in this division, That's a pretty tough detail also.
Yeah, well, just my mindset, man. We don't want to change our scheme off of the quarterback we're playing each week. We want the offensive coordinator to try to change the scheme off of us. Off of the defense. And so that's how I kind of approach that kind of thing, man. Is we're gonna do what we do. And see who's gonna win. Like, we're not gonna change too much off based on the quarterback. It is what it is.
Well, what was the process like in free agency for you, and why you ultimately decided in choosing the Chicago Bears? Because I'm sure Ryan Pace and John Fox obviously reaching out to you, knowing you can be an impactful player in the secondary. Certainly, it's good to be wanted, but what was intriguing about signing in Chicago for you?
Just coming to a place, like you said, man, that wanted me. Coming to a place where, the guys are young. I can come in, man, and be myself, but also be a leader. Kind of be a guy, I've been around the league 10 years, and so I'm coming in, man, with some wisdom and stuff like that, man. So it was kind of like a match made in heaven, man. They showed me the most respect. The process was, it got kind of stressful when you think about, all things being even. You got to choose between cities, state taxes and all that kind of stuff. But at the end of the day, man, I felt wanted, I felt appreciated, and, I'm excited to be a Bear.
Well, let me ask you about the safety market, because, man, you guys were getting scooped up quick, whether it's Barry re-signing, but the safeties were going quick here in free agency, and you were one of them.
Yeah, I mean, I'm hoping the league, you know, is starting to, you know, pay safety, make sure safety is a good position, man. I think it's a very position that's kind of undervalued at times. But at the end of the day, man, we are the quarterback of the defense. You know what I'm saying? That's kind of how I look at it. And so I was excited to see, man, a lot of guys get picked up, man, especially Barry. You know, his stories, man, is inspirational for sure. And so, man, just excited for everybody who, you know, who got picked up.
We're visiting with Bears safety Quinton Demps. What was the recruiting process like? Because you've worked hard to put yourself in this position. So when you actually met with the Bears, is it college style where they're going all out, rolling out the red carpet? What does it entail for a veteran like yourself when a team's trying to convince you that this is the best place for you?
It's more so, man, just about, you know, just definitely treating you with first class. Like I said, man, they did that for sure. First class organization, man. But it's just about, you know, the respect, man. And that was my biggest thing I value, man. Just, you know, the GM and the pro personnel guys and all them guys respecting my grind, you know, respecting that I got it the hard way. You know what I'm saying? I got 10 years the hard way. I wasn't the first round pick to sign a big contract. You know, I got drafted fourth round, got cut twice. And so for them to respect that and see my grind, man, it kind of, you know, it was everything, man. It was like a dream come true. It was, you know, I'm still excited, man.
Hey, Quinn, as we get ready for the draft, we look at a lot of the college safeties that are coming out, and they talk a lot about their ability to be versatile, whether they can play deep or whether they can play near the line of scrimmage. Is that something that you've always had in your game, or is the development of the safety position and the way that you have gone through it throughout your career, did you have to change anything, or did you come to the league with that versatility?
No, I think, man, my at the beginning, my strength was like more of a box guy. You know, I could do both, but at free safety, you have to be disciplined. And at the beginning of my career, like a lot of young safeties, they're not disciplined. Their eyes are bad. You know what I'm saying? So I had to incorporate that in my game at the beginning. But naturally, I was a box guy. You know, down in the box, guard the tight end, make the tackle for 2 or 3 yards or whatever. So that's kind of who I was naturally. But you know, as I began to progress and grow, I began to be the guy who, you know, was in the back, making sure everybody's lined up right, making sure all the checks are correct, and kind of, you know, being free back there. So I can kind of do both, man. But as a young safety, man, you kind of got to know your strengths, you know what I'm saying, and work on your weaknesses as you grow in the league, for sure.
Well, you got an interesting background. As you mentioned, you started with Jim Johnson, the late, great Jim Johnson of the Philadelphia Eagles. And maybe just touch on that. I mean, your favorite style, is it more blitz zone? I know there's all different styles, but maybe maybe something for the Bears fans out there of your style of play and what you like to do.
My style, I see ball, get ball. See ball, get ball. make sure we play discipline on the back end. I mean, that's it in a nutshell. You know what I'm saying? See ball, get ball, and make sure you just do it right. You know what I'm saying? Just do it right.
It's a simple philosophy that clearly has worked for you over the years. Hey, I wanted to ask you, I don't know how much detail you've gone into looking at some of the new rules changes that are taking place in the NFL, but I think one of them, specifically for your position, which I think is a very difficult position in regards to slowing up and, you know, it's an instinctual position, and there are a lot of bam-bam plays that occur when you play the safety position the way you do. This targeting-like call that they have in college that might end up now in the NFL, what are your thoughts on that as a veteran player in the defensive backfield?
Oh, man, just seeing the big picture, just looking at it, man, from that kind of perspective, I think I think it's positive, man. I think the guys are trying to really, you know, protect our future. You know, at the end of the day, man, football is only for a short span of time. So, you know, of course, I think the consequences are pretty steep, you know, because it's not something that we do on purpose. But at the same time, man, it's a thin line. You know, they try to just put a rule in place and make sure that we're aware that, you know, we can help us. We can be safe more. We can be safe for ourselves and for our teammates and for our opponent as well. You know what I'm saying? Grand scheme of life.
You know, Quinn, they have a whole highlight reel of guys going with these knockout hits, but now the challenge is fundamental tackling. Is it harder to fundamentally tackle a guy that, you know, some of the great athletes you face coming at you rather than some of these guys just trying to deliver a big knockout hit? And is it a true challenge to fundamentally tackle like they're asking for?
Yeah, I mean, of course it's a challenge, man. But, you know, my whole thing, man, just get him down. just get the guy down, you know, is the thing. Of course you want to be, you know, you want to do it the right way, but at the same time, man, just get him down, whether that's a big hit or a fundamental tackle or it's a getting out the mud tackle. You know what I mean? You got to scrape and claw to get him down. You got to get him down.
Last question for me, Quentin. Appreciate your time. In terms of just going from the AFC South to the NFC North, not that you went against any slouch receivers. A guy on your own team, DeAndre Hopkins, is ridiculous, let alone Allen Robinson, T.Y. Hilton. When do you – because I know Bill O'Brien says you're a big tape guy. You watch a lot of film. Do you dive into studying guys like Jordy Nelson and Laquon Treadwell just drafted up there by the Minnesota Vikings and certainly what Detroit has to offer? How soon do you maybe just start to get to know the division a little bit more in the NFC North?
I think, you know, OTAs for sure. That's the time. But, you know, I've been around a little bit, so I know a few of these guys, you know, some of their strengths and weaknesses. You know, I'm more of a tight end guy, tight end running back guy, because I'm not really on receivers that much. Yep. So I do study tight ends. I see, you know, the Packers guy, Martellus, and things like that. So I'm definitely a student of the game. I want to watch tape, you know, like always. I believe that's the strength of mine. And so, you know, I'm excited to be in the NFC North, man, and we'll see what happens.
Quentin, thank you so much for joining us, and good luck.
Thank you, Quentin.
Thank you, man. I appreciate you guys. All right.
Bears safety Quentin Demps, really like what I heard over the last few minutes with him in regards to his philosophy, the way he plays, the way he studies, Tom, which is right. Always a big deal.
Experience. You know, you got to capitalize on experience, because I think that's one of the things that Vic Fangio, Ed Donatell, the coaches for the Bears, they want somebody back there that's they've seen it all.
And he's going to be working with a lot of young guys in that secondary this season. Let's take a break. We'll come back and let's hit some of these new rules and how it impacts the Bears going forward. 312-644-6767. Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber, rolls on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Predict the 2017 regular season schedule correctly for a chance to win two tickets to every Bears game of the season, including round-trip United Airlines flights, hotel accommodations, and spending cash for each away game. Visit ChicagoBears.com/prediction for official rules and to enter. Zach Zaidman, 85 Bear, Tom Thayer, and former Bears quarterback Jim Miller with you here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber. You can join us at 312-644-6767. So, Jim, I know you're big on this. You're a rule stickler, and each year at the owners' meetings, they vote on all the new rules. What sticks out to you? Rather than reading them all, what are the big ones heading into this season that we should pay attention to?
Yeah, the one you talked to Quentin Demps about. I am infuriated that every year we add all these rules, and you know it just makes it harder on officiating, number one. But that specific rule, let me read it to you. The rule disqualifies a player who is penalized twice in one game for certain types of unsportsmanlike conduct fouls and becomes permanent. Now the league says that they can suspend a player, say, after a game for future games. Okay, here's what irritates me about this. You've got the concussion issue, right, where players, if you get a concussion on Sunday, the odds of you playing on Thursday are slim to none. Now if you're ejecting players from games who have two unsportsmanlike conducts, where is the rule that says roster sizes need to increase because of this? Because here's what's happening. We talk about safety, safety, safety. Or I shouldn't say we. The NFL talks about safety, safety, safety. But yet, let's say a player is disqualified. Say Quentin Demps has two unsportsmanlike conducts. He gets ejected from a game. May face future suspension. And now you're going to throw a backup player that gets what? 3 days, maybe five snaps of practice into a game. Or say you dress a certain offensive lineman like it happened to Taylor Lewan down there for the Tennessee Titans. Okay, he was subjected to getting close to getting ejected to a game. And Tom knows you're going into a game with only seven offensive linemen. If one goes down to injury, one gets ejected, now you got a tight end and they're blocking as your third tackle potentially. And that guy's supposed to protect your $100 million investment of a quarterback? Are you kidding me? That's safety? I mean, they need to increase the roster sizes on game day. I don't care if it's a Thursday game or a Sunday game, because if you only can go in with a certain amount of guys, and guys are getting ejected, or a guy suffers, two guys have a concussion during a game and they don't allow him to return, you don't have enough guys. Where are the bodies? You're already paying these guys. Every owner that Pat Kerwin and I have talked to, whether it's the owner or the GM, says, yes, that needs to happen. We need increased rosters on game day. but yet it's never proposed, ever. And yet we're just taking more guys off the field with all these new rules. It's really ridiculous at the end of the day.
Yeah, I agree. I think it makes it more difficult for the officials. But I asked Quentin Demps about the fundamental tackling, because for some of these guys, just to go and react downfield and throw their body into a player carelessly, now is it going to be even more challenging for these guys that aren't great fundamental tacklers to either improve or they're going to get cut? It's one of the things that's going to happen. And when you think of, for the Bears, Harold Jones-Corte, here's a guy that I see him throw his body into attempted tackles more than I see wrapping up of the tackle. And I do think it's going to be a stress of the fundamentals. But then how often can you practice fundamental tackling in practices, because you, either you're not in pads or you don't have the bodies to do it against?
You know, something that stands out to me is I get some of the safety rules, and I can understand the targeting-like rule that they put into place. I understand when they say that receivers now running pass routes are being given defensive player protection, because that is for the safety, the long-term safety of these players. I understand when they say that crack back blocks are now prohibited by a backfield player in motion. But here's what I don't get. You know that rule where you can leap over the long snapper to block the kick? How does that affect safety?
I don't know. I don't know why they're changing it, because what it did is if you had someone that really timed up the consistency of the snap of the extra point or field goal, you just put a certain paranoia in the sense in the head of the snapper. Now he's thinking more about popping up quickly because they're going to have someone to jump over it. And that wasn't as inviting when that you were kicking extra points from the 2-yard line. It became inviting when you're kicking extra points from the distance they are because of the elevation of the kick. And then when you kick the longer distance field goals, you go out and you study the habits of the snapper and you see, is this guy susceptible to it? And now in college, because you can't attack the head of the center, you're having smaller snappers go through the system. Whereas when we used to play and you could attack the head of the snapper, they used to have bigger guys snapping through Jay Hilgenberg, through Jerry Fontenot, through Patrick Manley. All these guys are 6'4", 260 pounds plus that would give some size to that position. So the NFL, they invited what they're getting in terms of them
Absolutely.
Jumping over the center. But now you're going to take it away because I don't know where the threat comes from. You know,
here's what's funny, Tom, is like you said, the NFL created their own mess because they moved back the extra points. The most exciting play last year in the NFL was Justin Simmons, the backup safety of the Denver Broncos. He leaped over the New Orleans Saints long snapper, blocked the extra point, and took it back for 2 points, and they won the game. And they changed the rule to move it back because the play was no longer exciting, right?
Right.
Here, the play is exciting. Even Shay McClellan did it in the postseason. But it was a few plays where they felt a player was in an uncompromising position. That's why they dealt with the safety of it. And a lot of times, it's even worse when the guys at the end of the line on field goals and extra points, they come screaming off and run into the legs of the kickers, because that's now where the potential block's going to come from, or big defensive lineman bull rushing up the middle. But when those DBs, and if it's a kick where the game is on line, great athletes are great athletes, and they show up big in the moment. You'll see some DB screaming off the edge now, just rolling into the kicker and blowing out more ACLs. That's what's going to happen. And they think they're helping the safety of the game. It's going to get worse moving forward.
You know, that's why every one of these special teams coaches and the kickers, they all go and they study every single kick that you have. They see where the susceptibility of the protection comes from. If it's an interior player, that's where it'll be attacked. If it's an exterior player that has a dual responsibility, that's where it's going to be attacked from. So there's always going to be a presentation from the kicking team that has a weakness, that's where it's going to be attacked from.
The biggest news during the owners' meetings was the official vote that has allowed the Raiders to move from Oakland to Las Vegas. It's going to take at least 2 years, maybe more, before it officially happens. The Bears are due to play the Raiders on the road in 2019. They may still be in Oakland at that time. But, Tom...
Well, Mark Davis said today he may think about playing there all the way through 2020.
It's a weird situation. I can't even imagine what it would be like if... And it won't happen. But if it if there was an announcement here that the Bears were moving to another city that's nearby, but you still have to take a plane flight to get there, and all of a sudden you're still in town, that creates an odd dynamic. And, you know, we've been there many times, guys. Oakland, they're fan. It's a little different right. When you go there.
I mean, I feel bad for the fan base in Oakland, for the workforce in Oakland, for the jobs that were provided because there was an NFL team there. That's where I feel bad, because you have the opportunity to work in Las Vegas, but in Oakland you need that team there. You need it for the entirety of the fall. You need the different jobs that it supplies in that area.
Now, Tom, you have a little experience with this in terms of professional football in Las Vegas. What's that going to be like for these NFL players when they move out there?
It's always about the dedication of the athlete to his game, his occupation, because whether you're in Detroit, Chicago, Green Bay, Cincinnati, if you're not dedicated to the game and the requirements, you're not going to last long anyway. So a team being in Las Vegas doesn't scare me. It's about, you know, I felt bad when they left St. Louis. I feel bad when they're leaving Oakland. I feel bad that they left San Diego. So I have more emotions to the people that were, you know, having an opportunity to work in the NFL with the different jobs that, you know, it supplied.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. Granted, you know, to me, the Raiders are a national fan base. The Raider fans are going to follow the Raiders no matter where they go. I think it's a lot of grandstanding by the politicians out there. Libby Schaff, the mayor there in Oakland, too little, too late to put that proposal on the table. For the Oakland Raiders. That stadium has been a dump for a long time. They elected to go with the Oakland A's because the A's play, what, 80 games out there. The Raiders are 81. Only playing 10. Yeah, 81 games, and the Raiders are only playing 10. But that, you know, that stadium has been talked about for years, and it never came to fruition, and they never put a proposal in front that made sense. So I understand why Mark Davis is doing exactly what he's doing, and, you know, and like what Tom said, in terms of the players and gambling, and you talk about the distractions that could be there, those distractions are in every city. I live here in Detroit. There's three casinos downtown. There's the same issues that exist in Detroit that are going to exist out there in Las Vegas for the players that will be playing for now what will be the Las Vegas Raiders.
I think it's more comparable to Miami. You know, there's certain distractions that occur in Miami that I think you have to deal with in Las Vegas.
Well, I mean,
well.
All the cities, you know, New Orleans, they have casinos there. Yeah. They have casinos in Cleveland. They have casinos here in Chicago. So the whole gambling aspect of it, it's available to any team, anywhere, anytime. And, you know, it's about the discipline of the football player and the coaches and the organization.
Well, it's not just the characters or the players that you're going to be signing. I'd say it's going to have to exist with everybody that is in the organization, because probably not everybody in that organization is going to be moving with the Oakland Raiders to Las Vegas, right? That's what happened in St. Louis Rams. Not their whole front office went out to L.A. So it's going to be about the character of the people that they have working in the organization, not just the players. It's more than that. It's the entire organization is moving.
Great point. Go off the field with Inside the Bears. Tune in weekly Saturday at 6 p.m. on CW50 and Sunday on Fox 32 Chicago at 10:35 p.m. for unique stories and interviews exclusively for Bears fans. This week on Inside the Bears, Mike Glennon shares his excitement about coming to Chicago. Jarrell Freeman traces his unique football path to the NFL. And Charles Peanut Tillman pulls off the ultimate prank. Inside the Bears, airing Saturdays at 6 p.m. on CW50 Chicago and Sunday at 10:35 p.m. on Fox 32 Chicago. And don't forget, you can watch show segments online at ChicagoBears.com or on the Chicago Bears official app at any time. When we come back, if you believe that one of the big three quarterbacks is right for you in round two, why wouldn't you take him with the third overall pick? I'll ask Tom and Jim next on Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Don't miss any of the NFL draft excitement. The 2017 Miller Lite Chicago Bears Draft Party, brought to you by PNC, is Thursday, April 27th at Soldier Field. Tickets are on sale now at ChicagoBears.com. Alongside 85 Bear Tom Thayer and former Bears quarterback Jim Miller, I'm Zach Sabin. You can join us at 312-644-6767 here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber. it's the most popular topic of conversation heading into the NFL draft. Because if you look at all the mock drafts, most of them have these teams, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, taking defensive players in the top five, maybe a running back. Very rarely do you see a quarterback going in the top five of these drafts. But guys, we've seen enough NFL drafts to know, Tom, there's going to be a quarterback that's taken in the top five.
Yeah, you would like, I mean, considering where the teams are at that don't have any quarterback, when you look at Cleveland, you look at San Francisco, you look at what the Bears have done with their quarterback
positions. Jacksonville has issues.
Right, Jacksonville, so on and so forth. You know, it's about the public evaluation of the quarterback talent that's out there. They have such a low opinion of the talent, whether it's through inexperience or some type of glitch in the habits of the quarterback. Since the end of the national championship game, I've always been high on Deshaun Watson. I just like what he did against Alabama. I like what he did throughout his entire career. And I've only listened to the negatives. They haven't been apparent to me. And I know that Jim knows more about it than I do, and he's thrown some interceptions that need to be, you know, curious why he threw the ball at that time. But when I see what he's done and the success he's had in the college career, what the Bears have in front of him in terms of having Glennon and a couple experienced quarterbacks, having Jordan Howard in the running game, I'm still a fan of Deshaun Watson. And, you know, I don't know, when I look at a mock draft of today and I look at Deshaun Watson going later in the first round, if he can go later in the first round, why can't he go early in the first round? So, you know, that's just, you know, an outside opinion. Jim is the quarterback, and he has a better understanding of it than I do.
No, I'm with you. I think, for me, Deshaun Watson will be first on my list. You know, earlier I had coming out even before we got to the offseason, I liked what I saw from Mitchell Trubisky, and then he had the bad game in the bowl game against Stanford where he didn't play well, and then he's a very green player, the kid from North Carolina. I don't think he's going to be ready to play right away. I think Deshaun Watson, with the number of starts, like Bill Parcells always talks about, I wanted a college quarterback to at least have 30 starts. He's 32-3 as a starter and plays big on the big stage. And I do think he's corrected the things mechanically, and he's working on the correct. Sometimes he overstrides a little bit, and I think that affects the accuracy issues that people had question marks on. But he came back, had a really good combine, threw well on his pro day. Granted, no rushers were coming at him, but we saw how he performed in the biggest game of them all. So I think the starting point is at 6 with the Jets. I think the Jets have a decision to make at 6 whether they'll pull the trigger on Deshaun Watson. I am convinced, though, more and more that 4 quarterbacks are going in the first round. I think because teams, knowing that these guys aren't ready to play, they're going to want that fifth-year option to groom them. Watson is probably most ready to step in and play, would be my take, out of the top 4 guys. But I think a team will trade into the first round to get Kaiser, or he'll get taken in the mid-teens, and then I think a team trades in late from the early second into the first to get Patrick Mahomes out of Texas Tech. When you hear teams say Brett Favre type of ability, they're just talking about his arm talent. The kid has arm talent. You don't believe me? Go watch the Baylor game. He made some throws in that game not too many quarterbacks can make. So they are excited about, you know, what his ability could be, but he's not ready to play. But I think 4 guys ultimately get taken in the first round.
Hey, Jim, has your thinking changed at all in regards to the quarterback position of the Bears because of bringing in Glennon Sanchez, having Connor Shaw, as to where, if you know, where you would even think about taking any one of these quarterbacks? Have you changed your thinking process because of the players they have here right now?
Yeah, I think if the scenario happens that 4 guys go in the first round, I think the Bears would be too high in the second unless they fall in love with Davis Webb. From what I hear, Davis Webb is probably going to go probably early in the second round. And then the other guys are going to fall in place after that. So I still think the Bears can get a developmental guy in the middle rounds. I think Nathan Peterman out of Pitt could be there, 3rd or 4th round. I think a guy like Brad Kaya out of Miami, he's a developmental guy. I think he'll be there in the 4th round where they could still select a guy, let Sanchez and Connor Shaw compete for the number 2, and yet you're grooming the young quarterback that you draft in, say, the middle rounds, 4th or 5th round, if that's the direction the Bears go. But I do think where the Bears select at, I think 36 in the second round, that may be too high for them, unless they love Davis Webb. He's got a big arm. He's the son of a head coach. I believe his dad was his high school coach. Patrick Mahomes, he got hurt at Texas Tech. He had to transfer to Cal. He put up sick numbers there in terms of his
attempts. Better numbers than Goff did.
Yeah, 37 touchdowns. I mean, he knows more about offense. When you talk to him, I think the criticism of him is he's maybe a little overconfident. But I think we all know the NFL has a way of humbling you with certain decisions you can make. But he's got a lot of tools to work with when you look at Davis Webb from Cal.
So here's my question for you. I'm going to ask you guys to play the role of personnel evaluator, general manager in the NFL. You're probably loving this because you guys would have given yourselves raises, but that's a story for another time. In terms of the actual talent evaluation portion of it, you know, most of the names that get linked to the Bears with the third overall pick are defensive guys, depending on who may be available, whether it's Solomon Thomas, the defensive lineman from Stanford, Jamal Adams, the talented safety from LSU. You know, some have put Jonathan Allen out there. You've got the cornerback from Ohio State, Marshawn Lattimore. There's Malik Hooker, the safety from Ohio State. Those are the names you hear in regards to where the Bears are picking at three. Are those players long-term a better fit from, say, where you think Deshaun Watson's going to be 5 years from now?
Well, that's a good question. I always believe this. I believe teams draft on need more than what we can say. Oh, he's the best player on the board. But if you really realistically go back and look at draft, teams draft for need. You know, it's probably a rare. That's why everybody was killing Ryan Grigson from the Colts when he drafted Philip Dorsett, the wide receiver, because it was not a need of that team. I believe teams historically will draft for need. Not to say that they won't step outside the box, but to me, quarterback now is not a glaring need for the Bears.
Yeah, but Kevin White wasn't a glaring need in 2015 when they made him the first round pick.
Well, I'd say this. I said it all along that they didn't have a three wide receiver set for the Bears. So I would argue that it was a need. And plus, Alshon and them couldn't stay healthy. So, you know, that's just how I always have looked at the draft. You've gone through free agency and now you fill the holes for the other areas of need. That's what the draft is for. Then you come back, have the OTAs. Well, we still have an issue here. We still have an issue here. Then you see the late signings right before training camp to fill the final needs to really kind of round out the bottom of your roster. That's just how I've always looked at it.
I want to hear what Jim has on his legal pad, you know, where he has his little mock draft for all his national shows. We'll find out. I want to see who he's got the Bears taken right now at three, and how often is that going to change between now and as we get closer to draft day. This is part of the fun, you know, because Jim does a lot of research here, and I know, Tom, you've got opinions as well. Let's take a break. We'll come back and get Jim and Tom's thoughts on what the Bears should do, number three overall in next month's draft. Bears All Access rolls on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Get round-the-clock news, video, and updates straight from your favorite team. Download the Chicago Bears official app and follow the Bears on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat for the latest contact direct to your devices. Alongside former Bears quarterback Jim Miller and 85 Bear Tom Thayer, I'm Zach Sabin. Love the draft. This is such a fun time in the NFL because you can significantly alter the future of your franchise in a good way or a bad way, especially where the Bears are picking, not just in the first round, but throughout. They either have a third overall pick or a fourth overall pick in every round of this year's draft, and you can change the direction of your franchise. This is the great thing. It's the equalizer.
Right.
You can go through a couple of bad seasons, but if you have one or two good drafts, and the Bears did draft some players a year ago who were contributors, like Cody Whitehair, Jordan Howard, we know the guys that were able to contribute. Now, if you add some difference-making players this year, in a draft that's supposed to be loaded on the defensive side of the ball in particular, Jim, you can really change the fortunes of your team.
Yeah, you absolutely can. But Tom will love this thought, because when I was out at the owners' meetings, I ran into two or three GMs that said, don't be shocked how early some of the offensive linemen go, because it's thin at offensive line. And if you go back, remember the Dwayne Brown draft, they draft? He was the seventh offensive lineman taken, I think it was like 10 years ago,
right,
in draft by the Houston Texans. Because the good ones, there's so few of them, they're going to go earlier than people think. So whether it's Ryan Ramczyk out of Wisconsin, obviously the kid who's gaining steam is Garrett Bowles out of Utah. He's got a very interesting background, but man, he's got a mean streak to him. Then obviously Cam Robinson, and then you look at Deion Dawkins from Temple. Everybody loves that player, think he could play guard. Some like him better as a center. Forrest Lamp from Western Kentucky, that kid to me is a first-rounder. So don't be shocked that there'll be more offensive linemen than you think selected, and it's going to push some good defensive players down, which will benefit the Bears at the top of the second round.
You know what player interests me is Jabril Peppers out of Michigan, because if he was only considered a one-position player, would his stock be higher? But because he's a versatile player that can play a couple different positions, does that kind of thin him out? Because it seems like I think he would be an asset to any defense that needs a multidimensional player to fit in their system, to play near the line of scrimmage, to play deep, to play safety, to play slot corner, all these type of job requirements he has. He's the guy that is kind of, in my mind, has moved up the defensive board, and I've gained more interesting thinking about him to see where he, how many different ways he can help a defense.
Have you called your former teammate Jim Harbaugh? Because I'm sure he could give you a detailed answer on this.
Played 15 different positions. I don't know. Right. He probably kicked too.
Well, you know,
put him at kicker.
You know, in my college career, my freshman year I played defensive line. My sophomore year I played guard. My junior year I started every game at left tackle. My senior year I played guard, center, guard. And I thought it was really going to help me in the draft. And I ended up getting drafted in the fourth round when guys that I thought were lesser players than me that only played one position throughout their entire college career, they got drafted higher. So it kind of makes me think about him. Is that going to hurt him or help him in terms of his evaluation process?
No, that's a good point, because you don't want to overload a player doing too much. And he is a hybrid player. I mean, he offers instant impact in the return ability because he brings that to the table. Worked out as both a linebacker and safety at the NFL Combine. Wants to play safety. He only had one interception at U of M. But like you said, I think because they used him in so many different ways, you know, how much can he really just focus on one position that he's, you know, he's going to be good at? But he is a hybrid player, and that's why he's probably considered one of the better safeties in this draft, because that's what the NFL is right now. Well, you know, you got the Christian McCaffreys of the world out at Stanford lining up as slot receivers now. You need a guy like Jabril Peppers to have the ability to cover him. So two hybrid players going at each other.
Jim, in 20 seconds, who do you have at number three for the Bears?
I still love Jamal Adams, the safety from LSU, but I can't rule out Jonathan Allen, the D-tackle out of Alabama as well. Hooker, I'm not as high on because of the injury history, so I think that takes him out of the equation at three.
Man, you just mentioned another Alabama player. Think how many Alabama defensive players are going to go in the first round, and people are telling me that Deshaun Watson can't play in this guy.
That's right.
I mean, what, 800-plus total yards against that team over the last 2 years? Come on. 3-1-2-3, I should say. We'll save it for next week.
You're coming around.
Yeah, save it for next week. I can talk forever. Let's say goodbye. We'll continue this conversation next week. We'll see how many changes Jim has to his draft chart. For Tom Thayer and Jim Miller, I'm Zach Saban. Thanks for listening to Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Thanks for listening to the Chicago Bears Network presentation of Bears All Access. Podcasts are available on ChicagoBears.com and on iTunes, or download the official Bears mobile app. Bears All Access has been brought to you by Uber and sponsored by CDW, FanDuel, and Verizon.